නමෝ තස් භගවතු වරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතු වරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස නමෝ තස් භගවතු වරහතු සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්ස සබ්බ පාපක්ස අකරණං කුසලස්ස උපසම්පදා සචිත්ත පරියෝදපනං ඊතං බුද්ධාන සාසනං Venerable Bhikkhu, friends, first of all, let me express my grateful thanks to everybody who are responsible for organizing this special sermon today, and especially I would like to convey my congratulations and also greetings to the corporate body of the Buddha Education Foundation for the opportunity given me to give a short sermon to you this evening. We can read books everywhere in the world sent by this foundation. So we have great respect and also great confidence on the work carried out by this organization. I am sure that everybody who you are here knows the work carried out by this foundation, and therefore no need for me to spend time for talking on that. I especially want to mention with grateful thanks this opportunity I got due to our fellow monk, my brother monk, who is venerable, who is working with you, Venerable Chandima, the Sangha Nayaka of Taiwan. And because of his kindness and because of his love, affection, I have been able to come here and stay these couple of days in this city, during which I got this opportunity to talk to you. The topic for my talk this evening has been discussed a little while ago, and it has been decided to give a talk on the Buddhist way of life. Buddhist way of life is very simple. It does not involve so many commitments, and also it is not complicated. It is quite straightforward. I recited a quotation from the teachings of the Buddha little while ago at the start of my talk, which gives which explains the Buddhist way of life in brief. Recited this in Pali language, which we Theravada Buddhist monks use. It reads as follows: Sabba papasa akaranam kusalasa upasampada සචිත්ත පරියෝ දපනං ඒතං බුද්ධාන සාසනං. The meaning is, I don't think that you may need having the Pali term, and I will tell you the meaning. It explains to us not to do evil things, do good things, purify your minds. This is the admonition given by the Buddha. This is what we have to do in our daily life as Buddhists. Sabba papasa akarana, not to do evil things. What are the evil things? every Buddhist knows that whether they are Theravada or Mahayana, as such, what we say, killing is a bad thing, stealing is a bad thing, committing adultery is a bad thing, telling lies is a bad thing, and also being intoxicated is a bad thing. The Buddha advises us to refrain from committing these evil things. In Buddhism, that we have monks, nuns, and lay people. Monks and nuns have many more rules and regulations for their discipline. You lay people do not have so many rigid rules to follow. Monks have 227 rules to obey, to discipline themselves, to regularize their lives. But you people have, the lay people have only a few, just only five. What we say, five precepts. They are not commandments to obey. These are rules of conduct to regularize, to train ourselves, to train our lives, not to do harm to others, not to take what is not freely given to us, and to be satisfied with one's own wife and one's own husband, and to be truthful, to practice truthfulness all the time, and also not to be intoxicated. When one avoids these things, naturally one's life becomes full of love, kindness, and compassion. The entire teachings of the Buddha is based on love and compassion. We can practice these two aspects, love and compassion, in our daily life. Our society would be a very pleasant place to live in. All evil things in the world, all terrorist activities, all criminal activities are committed by the people due to lack of love and compassion. Love is a beautiful emotion human beings have. It is very important, and also it is something that can be cultivated by everybody in daily life. The Pali term is metta. The Sanskrit form is maitri, which means loving kindness. This has been translated into English as love, which is misleading. Because immediately when you hear the word love, your mind tends to think that it is something to possess. Because this word is used between lovers, it is the love of lovers. And therefore we have to be very careful when we use these translations in different languages. The real meaning of the word metta is friendliness, active interest in the well-being of others. It is like mother's feeling, father's feeling towards their children. Mother and father, and especially mother, is ever ready to sacrifice even her life for the well-being of the child. That form of feeling, we have to cultivate in our minds as Buddhists. And that feeling should be developed or cultivated and radiated towards all beings. We should be able to look at each other with that loving feeling. When one cultivates that feeling in one's mind, naturally that person refrains from harming others. And therefore, the basis of refraining from killing or harming others is loving kindness. When we say, in our Theravada tradition, we say in Pali language, Buddhang, Panatipata Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhyami, I refrain from taking life. And sometimes this has been translated as I refrain from killing. But that includes all forms of harm, whether it is physical harm or mental harm. Say, for instance, a smile is a beautiful thing. That smile can be used by a person to hurt others.
I beg your pardon?
To hurt others. A crooked smile can hurt another person, creating big pain in the mind. A smile is a big thing, a good thing, but that very good smile can be used as a weapon to create pain in another person's mind. So therefore we have to be very careful in our dealings with the others, not to hurt others' feelings. A person who practices metta or loving kindness does not do harm to others, not only to living beings, even to the nature. And that person cares for living beings as well as non-living beings, like trees and creepers, plants, environment. It is those people who do not practice loving kindness make harm to the environment. We talk a great deal nowadays regarding environmental pollution. In considering how to protect the environment, we can see cultivation of loving kindness has a great place to play in it. So in this way, the first precept is to be practiced with great love and compassion. And we can see it is based on love and compassion. We have to be very mindful about our daily thinking. If we are practicing loving feeling with mindfulness, we can see nothing wrong will happen from us if we are mindful about loving kindness. If we are practicing loving feeling towards each other and towards the environment, there is no room for us to do anything harm to others. It is a daily thing. And this is what we say, Buddhism in daily life means practicing loving kindness, practicing compassion. If one is compassionate, one avoids doing harm to all the others. It is the same with the other precepts as well. And when we say the second precept out of these five principles, we say adinnadana veramani sikkhapadam samadhyami, I undertake the precept to abstain from taking what is not freely given. If one is practicing loving kindness and compassion, that person does not steal. One does not commit theft. Stealing is also very difficult principle to keep right up to the standard, because there are so many intricacies in it, so many complexions in it. Say, for instance, one may say, I do not kill and I do not steal. But still, unknowingly, if that person does not give the proper work to the amount paid for that person or for the salary, if one is not working properly for the salary paid to that person, that is also a form of stealing. And also, if the employers are not paying enough salary for the labor given to the work, that's also a form of stealing. In other words, if we do not attend our work right on time, and if we do not continue work right to the end of the day, it is a form of stealing. And these things can happen in any society if one is not considerate, if one is not mindful enough about this. One has to refrain from stealing, but at the same time one has to practice generosity in heart. When we work for someone, we work for the reason that we need, earning our living. At the same time, we should have in our mind the understanding we are giving our labor for the wages paid to us. And there should be some generous feeling in the heart towards the employer, that we work for that person pays us for the labor, but at the same time we do it out of compassion and generosity. And we can see this is also a form of daily practice. What we say, Buddhism in daily life. And then the next precept, the third one, we say, Kame sumichchachara vedamani sikkhapadam samadhyami in Pali. That means, I refrain from unlawful sex. In other words, I would be satisfied with my own wife and my own husband. If one breaks this, that person is committing something very wrong that would bring unsatisfactoriness to the society. It creates a disharmony, disunity, and it breaks families, friends, and bringing untold suffering to the society. It does not advocate celibacy to everybody, but chastity, one wife and one husband. And that is the principle in the teachings of the Buddha. And then the fourth precept is, in Pali language we say, Musavada Veramani Sikkhapadam Samadhyami. That means I undertake the precept to abstain from unskillful words. Sometimes it has been translated as I abstain from telling lies, but not only not telling lies, it includes backbiting, harsh words, idle gossips as well. This principle or this precept has great importance in our social life that can bring great harm to families, to friends, and to the society. Everybody knows the Buddha had a son whose name was Rahula. The Buddha ordained him when he was 7 years old, a small boy. Always Buddha advised him to be very mindful about what he said. When the Buddha was fulfilling the necessary qualities to become a Buddha, it is said in our texts, the Bodhisattva, the person Buddha to be, was very, very meticulous about this precept because he was trying to realize the truth. Truth cannot be realized while telling lies. We are, as followers of the Buddha, are all trying to either as the Buddha or Arahant to realize the truth. We have to be truthful all the time, and also we have to be very mindful about what we say. In other words, not to say anything that would harm others. Therefore, we have to be refrain from backbiting, idle gossip, and harsh words. We have to train ourselves to use the words which are useful, pleasing others, and gentle words, the words that pleases others. And these are the words that we have to use in our daily life. And now we can see that precept is also based on love and compassion. One is practicing loving kindness and compassion. One would never use any harsh word to others. If one is using any harsh word any time, immediately that person himself or herself can feel at least slightest anger in the mind. And without getting angry, you can't use harsh words. And also without practicing loving feeling and compassionate feeling, you can't use gentle words. So we can see the connection between loving kindness, compassion, and truthfulness. And this is to be practiced in our daily life. We have to train ourselves to practice these things in our daily life. And the last precept, the fifth one, is Suramereya Majjapama Dattana Veramani Sikkhapadang Samadhyami in Pali language, which means I undertake the precept to abstain from taking intoxicants. This precept or this principle is also connected with the society, the social life. When one is intoxicated, one loses the balance of the mind and becomes unable to decide what is right and wrong. So there's every possibility for that person to do all bad things. Therefore, the Buddha advised us to refrain from intoxicants. Now, I have said all the five precepts. What ordinary people, say lay people, undertake to observe in their daily life. We can see the relevance of these things to our daily life. These are not commandments, but these are precepts and principles. The principles of Buddhist way of life is these five precepts. One can undertake these things, and also one can violate these things, one or two or a couple of them a day, or sometimes a number of times a day. One can violate these things, but that does not make a person creating a sin. That violating these principles or precepts is not considered as a sin in Buddhism. It is an error that can be corrected by undertaking, by renewing these precepts again. And we can see how harmless the Buddhist way of life is if one adheres to these principles, if one practices these things.
I beg your pardon?
We can see how peaceful the Buddhist way of life is when people adhere to these principles. Brings peace. It brings happiness to individuals, and also it brings peace and happiness to the society. Now you can see, these are not something to be observed once or twice a day. It is something to be practiced all day, all the time, when in our waking hours. This is why I said the Buddhist way of life is very simple. It does not create, or it does not expect any form of ceremonies to observe these principles. Training one's life to a particular way of principles, a particular way of precepts, and that is the life of a Buddhist. It is a training, it is a way of life to live all the time wherever one is, once or twice a day, or at a particular time of the day, or particular time of month. I said that Buddha advised us to refrain from all evil things and do good things. Cultivate the mind. This is the advice given by the Buddha. I have explained briefly what are the things that we have to do in our daily life, how to observe it. And let us see what is do good things. What does that mean to say good things? Then again, the Buddhist life is examine in three different ways. He says dana, sila, bhavana. Dana, sila, bhavana. Practicing generosity, practicing morality, practicing meditation. And these are the things what we say, do good things. Dana means giving. Practicing generosity. Be generous in heart. Be generous in mind. Buddhist people, the followers of the Buddha, are very keen in practicing generosity in any Buddhist country. Dana is practiced with great enthusiasm. Dana has several aspects, like giving material things and giving life, also giving Dhamma. Giving material things means food, clothes, money, property, any such things come under that category, under the category of the material things. But that dana should be given in order to eradicate our craving and attachment or greediness. In Buddhist teaching, we are encouraged to practice dana as a paramita, the bodhisattva idea. We should be able to give all our material things, and also we should be able to give our limbs, our organs, and also, if it is necessary, we should be able to give our life as well. Dana can become a big dana or a small dana according to the mental state of the person at the time of practicing that generosity. One can spend enormous amount of money, enormous amount of time and energy in practicing generosity, but at the same time that can become very small in its results because of the wrong understanding of the practice of generosity. That means if one is giving in order to gain name or publicity or fame or to gain much in return, and that generosity is being spoiled. One should not spoil one's practice of generosity out of because of these things, and one's mind should be free from all these expectations. If one should be able to give for the sake of giving, letting go, in other words. Dana becomes big or small depending on the mental state at the time of the practice of it.
Okay.
Venerable Moggallana is one of the main disciples of the Buddha. He has great miraculous powers. He was second in miraculous powers, performing miraculous powers or miracles only to the Buddha. He was very famous because of his miraculous powers. He used to visit heaven and also hell from time to time. You know that when we say heaven, it is not one thing as in other religions. In other religions, they say there is one heaven and one hell. For Buddhist teaching, there are much more than one. That means that we have six divine realms. We say Divya Loka or divine realms, divine worlds. There are six of them.
Only six?
Six divine realms. And also upper divine realms, what are known as Brahma world, there are 16 of them.
16, 1, 6.
Brahma realms, which are considered as the upper divine realms. In other religions, when they talk about hell, there is only one. In Buddhism, we are taught there are many, not hells, therefore we don't use the term hell, we say purgatory, where beings suffer the consequences of their bad deeds. Venerable Moggallana used to visit these planes, these realms, where these different beings are being born. When he went to those purgatories where beings suffered, he talked to them and asked them what bad deed that they did during their lifetime in human world as a result to be born in such a unhappy state. When he learned from them the bad deed that they did in human realm, he returned and explained or advised the people not to do bad things because they would have to suffer in different forms of purgatory. When he visited heaven, he talked to those people who are born there and come back to human world, explained to human beings the nature of divine world and the comfortable life those people, those beings enjoying there, and encouraged the people to do good things to be born in heavenly world. Such an occasion, when he visited heaven, he met a beautiful celestial a female being whom is a nymph, what we say in English, a nymph. He met a nymph in heavenly world. In that is what we say a female deity, who was very beautiful, with a very big mansion and very attractive. She came down and knelt down to pay respect to Venerable Moggallana. Having seen her beauty and her luxurious life, Venerable Moggallana asked her what meritorious deed that she did during human world to be born in such a comfortable state in heavenly world. Then she was a little bit shy to say what she did, because the deed that she did was very small. She could not disobey him. So she said, "Venerable sir, I was born in a very poor family in human world. My parents were very poor. They had a very little garden out of the town where my father did plant some vegetables. One day my father went out, leaving me in the hut to look after the garden. Then, when the midday approaching, I saw a monk going round collecting alms, what we say, pindapatha. He was going round on pindapatha. Our Buddhist Theravada Buddhist tradition, not only in Theravada, even in Mahayana, you have this Pindapatha. Pindapatha means going round with a bowl from home to home, collecting alms food for the midday meal. This poor girl who was looking after that little plot of land and the vegetables there had seen a monk passing near the land, near that plot of land on Pindapatha, and she wanted to offer something. She looked around. She didn't find anything to be offered. Then she searched in everything inside that little hut. There was nothing suitable for her to offer to that venerable monk. So she went out to the garden, and she had seen a small fruit, a pumpkin. And she picked up that. She offered that pumpkin to venerable monk who was going on Pindapatha. Although she offered that at that moment out of great saddha or faith, with great faith she did that, but she had little apprehension in her mind, not knowing what her father would say to her when he returned. But when he returned, she reported this incident to him. He was very happy. He was also a pious Buddhist. He said, "Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu, oh, you did very good thing." And this made this girl extremely happy. Which that happiness remained in her life all the through until her death. At her death, when she was about to die, this was the act she remembered very clearly. As a result of this, she was born in heaven. And this shows us one can spend millions of millions in general practice in generosity, in giving dana, but still if mind is spoiled by the thought of fame or gain or good name, it becomes small in practice. But one can do small things and can expand that mind or purify that mind with saddha, that will give much better results than spending more in things. And the other thing here I would like to mention, whatever we do, we remember these things at our death, when we are about to die. We can't remember everything. We do so many things in our daily lives, both good and bad. We can't remember everything, but there are certain things strongly struck in our mind, which we remember from time to time very clearly. Say, for instance, you may not be able to remember everything what you did this morning. If you want to remember it, you have to give little thought to it. But there may be something you remember very often, very clearly, very vividly, the things that you have done 10 years back or 20 years back, because it is being struck very strongly in the mind. At death, when someone is lying on the deathbed or about to die, one of these things will be the object of dying thought. these things start coming into the dying person's mind in a succession, like watching a film in the TV. There are so many incidences passing. If you put that film roll in a fast motion or fast movement, and you can see hundreds of events pass. In the same way, the things done in the past by the person and is strongly stuck in the mind start coming into the mind. And one would be taken as the object of dying thought. If that object gives the person or object, or that if that incident is the happy one, the dying person becomes very happy, pleasant, showing peace in the mind, and sometimes smiling, very calm and quiet, peace. That when the death occurs on that thought, the next birth also will be in a peaceful place, enjoyable place, and full of happiness. If that incident, which is taken up the mind